North Rock Podcast.
Oh, is God good or is God good, huh? Hey, can we give the Lord a mighty celebration of those lives that are being transformed? I love that we're in a series talking about the power of the Holy Spirit, and there's no better illustration than seeing people say yes to Jesus, be baptized into his kingdom, to kind of lead into naturally supernatural. As we're talking about this, one of my favorite topics in the whole entire world, I wanted to take a second to just greet those of you who are the church of the four-wheel drive, right? Those that aren't afraid of a little bit of snow on a spring morning. It's Colorado, right? I mean, it's supposed to be like this. And I think it's just God's grace, his love, his kindness for us, reminding us that all of our sins have been washed as white as snow. Just wanted to remind us one more time in this season, right? So we have been in this series called Naturally Supernatural, looking at the impact of the Holy Spirit on the world, the impact of the Holy Spirit in the lives of those who proclaim Christ in their lives. And if you recall, last week we took some time and we looked at how the Holy Spirit's poured out into people's lives, and we made that point that the Holy Spirit is active and alive and doing so many things in so many places that it really is difficult, even in a series, to kind of convey everything about the Holy Spirit, right? And so last week we took some time and we really focused on the idea that as the Holy Spirit moves in power, because we have done what Ephesians 5:18 says, and that is be filled with his Spirit, right? That it works kind of in two areas of the believer's life. The first one is the fruit of the Spirit. You guys remember us talking about that, right? About his character kind of being shaped in and through our lives. But then we also talked about the spiritual gifts. The spiritual gifts that help the Holy Spirit do what the Holy Spirit does, and that is draw people unto himself and transform lives. Amen? That's what we've been talking about. And I stated last week that it's my goal, it's my hope, it's my desire that those people that call North Rock home, that we would be a people that are naturally supernatural, meaning that we contend greatly for the manifestation of the Holy Spirit and the gifts, and that we walk in the fruit, right? That it's really the character can be the centerpiece that holds the gems of the gifts that he wants to work in and through us all. So today I thought it would be important for us to talk about what does that look like in public worship. In a gathering like this, what does the Holy Spirit look like in the midst of a crowd, okay? And in doing so, we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 12 and 14 as kind of two different scenarios in the same church of a season where at one time he's talking to him, he's saying this is exactly what we want, and another time he's having to, you know, dial it back a little bit. He's having to make an adjustment. He's having to make a course correction. Can I just be the first to admit that sometimes we don't get it right? Right? That adjustments need to be made, and that's really our heart, is that we would talk today about what does it mean to live in a balanced way that really does exercise the gifts and the fruit in a way that really makes a difference and impacts people for the purposes that they've been saved, okay? Because this is what I believe, that if on this side of the spectrum, if it's all just about the character development and learning the Word of God and just being in the Word of God, and all it is reading and listening and learning and reading and listening, learning and reading, listening, learning, that sometimes we can miss the full impact of what God wants to do, right? That we want all of his character exhibited through our lives. But I also know that if it's all about just the manifestations of his Spirit on this side, it's just about some of the heightened emotionalism that can go with us being excited, and we should be excited about God, that we can get it a little bit, get the marker off of the center point on this side too, right? Let me ask you this. Let me try to illustrate this way. Have any of you guys ever met somebody that's oversaved? Right? If you don't know what oversaved is, I got my friend Michael Jr., a comedian. He's going to talk to you about that in just a minute, and then we're going to jump into our message.
You got some Christian friends who are cool, right? You hang around with them. You have friends who may not be Christian yet, but then you got Christian friends, right, who are, I'm just going to say this, I'm going to put it out there. You ever know somebody that was oversaved? Like, you can't even have a regular conversation with them. You just try to be like, man, it's a hot one. It's pretty hot. Huh, I'm thirsty. You thirsty? Thirsty for the Lord. Like, well, Okay, cool. Hey, I lost my keys. Could you help me find my keys? Seek first the kingdom of God. It's like, I just lost my keys. Man, I don't know. You need the keys to the kingdom. I didn't drive a kingdom today. I just drove a Toyota. And I know as soon as I said oversaved, some of y'all already had somebody in mind. But if you didn't, they probably had you in mind. You might be oversaved and you don't even know it. I'm going to help you out. This is how you can know if you're oversaved. If you're at the restaurant and you order a fruit salad, you start to pray over it. But your prayer lasts so long, by the time you eat, it's trail mix. You oversaved. If your friend buys you a vacuum cleaner and you rebuke it because it's a dirt devil,
you might just be oversaved, right? Here's one more that I love that he shares, is that if you sleep at night with just the linens on because Jesus is your comforter, you might be a little bit oversaved, right? Might be. So again, we use that to bring some levity to a subject that's very important. How is it that we live in the Holy Spirit in a way that the Holy Spirit's power is on display for the purposes on which he displays it? Meaning, how can we live Acts 1:8, right? That the Holy Spirit's been empowered and poured out for witness. So again, when it comes to our public gatherings, we want to find that balance point that Paul talks to us about in 1 Corinthians 12, in really having order, but believing and contending that the Holy Spirit would do what only he can do in people's lives, right? So I will admit this to you as a pastor, that it's difficult to find that balance point in our own personal journeys with Jesus. But to find it in a group of people that has such great diversity, so many backgrounds, so many different ideas, that when we say this is how the Holy Spirit moves in our midst, there could be a survey of on a Sunday like this, about 50 people, right? About 50 different opinions on exactly how that can look. Today, what I'd like to do is look at two different pictures, one in 1 Corinthians 14, the second in 1 Corinthians 12, and look at what happens and how we can adjust to really live a life where the Holy Spirit activates and orchestrates our worship. Is that a good thing to talk about today? Okay, and as we get into it, I'm going to talk to you about three ways that I think that we can get this right, we can find that balance point, we can really live this out. So let's pray, and then we'll dive into the Word. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name that your Holy Spirit is active, alive, and poured out in our lives. That as you give us the command, be filled with the Holy Spirit, Lord, you are faithful to fill us. Lord, help us to be willing, receptive vessels, Lord, that hear your word, that respond to your word, and that are led by your Holy Spirit. Lord, help us never to venture too far to the side of cessation, where we're on the side of saying, you know, we don't really believe that the Holy Spirit wants to do anything. We just want to talk about it a lot. But Lord, we also ask you not to have us swing too far to the other side where it's inaccessible to those that don't understand your ways, where we can be a people that can be a little too far on the fanaticism side. So Lord, that's our prayers, that you would guide us, that we'd listen to your voice, that you would guide us, that you would lead us, and that you would teach us about yourself today in Jesus' name. Amen. So again, the goal, the purpose of this teaching is that I want to be a pastor of a church here at North Rock where we give the Holy Spirit elbow room, or we give the Holy Spirit operational ability to do what he does. But I want to do it in a way that people don't actually catch elbows in the midst of it, right? You guys know the difference between that, right? We want it to be lively, but we don't want it to be a distraction. We want it to be powerful, but we don't want it to be something that people can't understand from a scriptural basis why and how God's moving in and through them, okay? So there's a church in Corinth that Paul's addressing in 1 Corinthians 14 who kind of landed on this side of the spectrum that we've been talking about. That the fruits are going off and it's like popcorn going on in their meetings. That there's all kinds of disorders, all kinds of challenges that are happening. And so Paul gives them a direction. He's addressing what we would call oversaved or maybe super spirituals, or to use some of the language from that time, you know, super apostles, and bringing a corrective without dismissing the importance of the gifts in their midst, right? So again, the reminder is that there's purpose in the functioning of the Holy Spirit's power in a worship gathering, and that purpose is a witness. So this is what he has to say to the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1. It says, let love be your highest goal, but you should also desire special abilities that the Spirit gives, especially the ability to prophesy. And I apologize, we don't have time to read the entire chapter in order, but we're going to just take pieces as we run through the chapter to give you an idea of what he's talking about, okay? In verse 9, he says, it's the same for you. If you speak to people in words that they don't understand, how will they know what you're saying? You might as well be talking into empty space. Again, reminds us of the importance of witness in the Holy Spirit's empowerment. In verse 12, he says, and the same is true for you, since you are so eager to have special abilities that the Spirit gives, seek those that will strengthen the whole church. Verse 26, he says, well, my brothers and sisters, let's summarize. When you meet together, one will sing, another will teach, another will tell of some special revelation God has given. One will speak in tongues, another will interpret what is said, but everything that is done must be done to strengthen all of you. In verse 32, he says, remember, the people who prophesy are in control of their spirit and can take turns. For God is not a God of disorder, but of peace, as in all the meetings of God's holy people. In verse 40, he says, but be sure that everything is done in proper order, right? Again, he's giving them some guardrails. He's giving them some boundaries. He's helping them remember the purpose for the power is not that we would walk as WWE church, brother, right? That it wouldn't be about just getting all excited up in here and making all kinds of noises and all kinds of expressions of something that people couldn't quite understand, right? See, the way I think about it, since I brought up kind of the wrestling piece, is that when we're walking in balance, we're walking in moderation, we're walking in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, but controlled strength for the purposes by which he gives it to us. I think of it a lot like when I wrestle with my girls, right? You guys know I've got two little girls at home, and I could totally DDT them if I wanted to. Like, I could do, like, the Hulk leg slam thing on them. I could, like, you know, choke them out. I could do whatever I needed to do because I'm stronger than they are, right? But when I think about this idea of what I see Paul addressing in 1 Corinthians 14, it's that reminder that the strength that we've been given is given to care for people. It's given to comfort. It's given to serve. It's given for the purposes of making room for others that may not have an understanding of how God works yet. Does that make sense? So when we gather together, I love that he started 1 Corinthians 14 with the corrective of, hey, remember, the reason I've given you my spirit, the reason I've given you my power is for love, right? I love that we're not the only church that has to keep being reminded. Dial it back to dial it to here. Move it back this way. Get it right. Get it in purpose for the purposes of people being known in love, right? I love that he starts with that. And I love that the church in 1 Corinthians 12 gets the model that he gives them. He says, this is what it should look like. This is what I want it to look like in your church. This is how perfect balance kind of happens, right? And then all of chapter 13 leading up to 14 is about, hey, this is what love looks like. This is what I mean when I say let's love well. And then already in 1 Corinthians 14, they're totally blowing it, right? He's got to bring that corrective. He's got to help them see, hey, you might have drifted too far into just overemphasizing the gifts and the pneumatology, but you forgot about some of the other pieces of what I want to do in people's lives, okay? Again, we want to be people who are well-balanced, who are well thought of, who have character that backs up the power of the Holy Spirit moving through our lives, okay? So that's the goal. That's what we're trying to accomplish here at North Rock. And I'll give you some reasons why that's so important and why that's such a passion point for me in just a few moments. But I love that the scriptures don't just point out something that may not be working at optimal power, okay? Because he gives us 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and he kind of, again, to me, this points us towards what we're aiming at, what we're hoping for. That in the midst of a place with such great diversity, we have to choose love in order to live in fellowship with one another. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12 says this, the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up the whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some of us are Gentiles, some of us are slaves, and some are free. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share that same Spirit. But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part where he wants it. Pay attention, that's important, that God has placed every part where he wants it. In verse 25, he goes on to say, this makes for harmony or balance, right? Among the members, so that all the members care for each other. In verse 27, he goes on to say, all of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. Here are some of the parts that God has appointed for the church. First are the apostles, second are the prophets, third are the teachers, then those who do miracles, then those who have gifts of healing, those who can help others, those who have gifts of leadership, those who speak in unknown languages. And in verse 29, he asks the question, are we all apostles? Are we all prophets? Are we all teachers? Do we all have the same power to do miracles? Do we all have the gift of healing? Do we all have the ability to speak in unknown languages? Do we all have the ability to interpret unknown languages? Of course not. Verse 31, he says, so you should earnestly desire the most helpful gifts. I love that, the most helpful gifts. But now let me show you a way of life that is best for all. I'm thankful that as I speak to you today, I don't have to resolve the issue of what this should look like in churches all over the world. My only job, my only goal today is to hopefully give some perspective on why we do what we do, how we do here at North Rock. Does that make sense? That finding that balance point is subjective, right? And that we all have a range of where the right sweet spot is. But we believe that as God leads us and guides us and shows us how he's wired us in the family that he's called us to, we can find that sweet spot, right? So if you found your way here to this church and you're sitting here with us today, according to what we just read, God calls us and he appoints us to that church, right? That when he calls us, he appoints us. It's by his hand. It's by his order. It's not by chance. It's not by, I just thought it was a good idea. It's the Holy Spirit's work drawing us to him. And that he appoints us in a structure. He appoints us in a body. He appoints us in a family. And if you found your way here today, you are part of North Rock Church as a family. But North Rock is part of a group of churches called Foursquare. How many of you guys knew that before I said it right there? Okay. We're not just the four-wheeling church, we're the four-square gospel church, okay? The word four-square simply means solid. It means balanced. It means having strength and having a foundation, okay? And the four-square gospel is a church that is committed to talking about Jesus a lot and talking about Jesus' whole ministry in the lives of people's lives. That's why we're talking about the Holy Spirit today. The four-square gospel is simply this message that Jesus is always, before, today, and forever, Savior, Healer, Baptizer in the Holy Spirit, and soon coming King, right? How many of you guys think that's an important message that churches should continue to talk about? That is why we exist, is to be a people who live and speak the Foursquare gospel message, okay? Now, Foursquare, if you're thinking concentric circles here, this is the local church. This is the group of churches that we belong to. Well, Foursquare is part of what's called a Pentecostal or charismatic a church movement, right? How many of you guys know what that means? Okay? We all have different definitions. I can guarantee you that. Okay, because even the people that study this all the time, they don't even have the same definitions. But basically, as I say it and use it in our terms here at this church, is that we believe that the Holy Spirit is alive, that he's able to do the work that he has called us to do through our lives as we make ourselves available to him, right? So when we gather as a group, we want to see the fruits of the Spirit in the way that we conduct ourselves, in the way that we treat each other, in the way that we make ourselves weak so we can show his strength to those that don't know him yet. And there's three basic elements that I think that are important for us to talk about today when we try to talk about this place of sweet spot for North Rock. Okay, as a Foursquare church, I've taken this directly from foursquare.org. So if you'd like to know more about who we are as a family, I'd like to invite you to go check that out. But there's three areas that I think reinforce the point that I'm making today, is that we want to live in balance, okay? And the first is simply this, that as a church, we believe in moderation. Moderation is that idea of balance, right? And taking this directly from some of our you know, statutes of belief, it reads this way. We believe that Christians should avoid excess and that their moderation should be obvious to others. Their commitment to Christ should be deep and sincere, but they should not indulge in or lead others into extreme fanaticism. Christians should be well thought of, balanced, humble, and self-sacrificing, reflecting Christ's grace and character in all areas of their lives. Why? Because balancing growth and unity and mission leads to witness, right? That's what we want. We want to be well thought of and fully empowered by the Holy Spirit. Okay, so we believe in moderation. As a church family, we believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, we're a Pentecostal charismatic movement, so when I say we believe in the power of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that's where we should get a glory to God, right? That's kind of that balance point of middle. We don't want to be dry, starchy Christians that just blah, 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 religious, talk about all the rules, but we don't do anything about it, right? We don't want to live there. We talked about that last week. That's where legalism comes from. That's what a religious spirit is. That's where we get off the track, where we think we have to know everything before we can live this thing out, right? We don't want to be there, and we don't want to be oversaved either. Because we believe in moderation, we believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And for those of you that may not be familiar with the term, I'm going to read again what that means from our Foursquare perspective, okay? That we believe that the baptism with the Holy Spirit is an experience that follows salvation. All believers have God's Spirit within them. Holy Spirit baptism empowers believers to exalt Jesus, to live lives of holiness, right? And to be witnesses of God's saving grace. It's what we've been talking about, the gifts and the Spirit at work together to bring witness to the world. It says, we believe that those who experienced Holy Spirit baptism today will experience it in the same manner that believers experienced it in the early church. In other words, we believe that they will speak in tongues, languages that are unknown to them. Again, a couple of scripture references that might be helpful to you. Acts 1:5, 8, and chapter 2, verse 4, okay? So again, we reference some of the information from people that are way smarter than I am, that spend a lot of time researching these things. One of them was Gordon Fee, and he states that these biblically based answers make it clear why Pentecostals and charismatics welcome the experience and urge every believer to receive the same, noting that this promise of the Holy Spirit, right, this promise is unto you, and it's to your children, and it's to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Acts 2:39, right? Says that the blessing of speaking with tongues is meant for daily private worship and prayer, benefiting and edifying the life of the believer. It is the breath of prayer that accompanies the food of daily Bible reading, enabling a fruitful life of service. Again, there's purpose behind the power. As Jesus promised, with rivers of living water continually flowing forth from a life that is filled with praying in, serving by, and witnessing with supernatural ability, right? So again, those are a couple of the ways that we talk about the balance point here at this particular congregation. Is we believe in moderation, but we believe in Spirit empowerment. We believe in being filled with the Spirit's life for the purpose that we've seen a Pentecostal charismatic kind of spread of the gospel throughout the world. How many of you guys are aware today that in 2005, there was an estimate of 600 million adherents in the family of the Pentecostal charismatic movement? Do you guys know that? That it's expanding by 9 million. Give me one second here. And 9 million people a year. That's just about, I think it was about 25,000 people a day, right? $25,000 people. Got money on my mind and my mind on my money, apparently, right? The Pentecostals and Charismatics are found on every continent in 236 nations. So when we talk about this as being part of the family, that is the part of the family that we are all a part of. And part of the reason that I believe that it's moving in such power throughout the world is because the Pentecostal charismatic central focus is a lot what we talked about with this four-square gospel message, right? That's to touch humankind with the love of God. Because that's important, isn't it? Preaching salvation through Jesus Christ and confirming the witness in miracle-working power of the Holy Spirit. Again, this no-nonsense priority of all Spirit-filled believers is a pivotal issue that travels along this priority and in the discipling of converts. Discipling in a few ways. One, calling them to be baptized, right? We just celebrated. A bunch of people are being baptized. Leading them in an experience of receiving the fullness of the Holy Spirit so that they don't live an experience in Christ not feeling like they're fully fueled by the Holy Spirit. And then growing them in the truth of God's word through Bible teaching, okay? So at North Rock, this is our chance to basically say this is how we roll. And a few of the gifts that we talked about that we've seen operate, we had some people share a testimony today. We've had some people sing. We have the Holy Spirit working in our midst in a lot of ways that can sometimes become commonplace. It's like the air that we breathe, right? We just get used to our own liturgy. And it's not until something gets moved or something gets changed that we notice that something's different, right? So for us, this idea of speaking in tongues and being filled with the Spirit is something that we all contend for. I, like the Apostle Paul, say that I pray in tongues more than any of you. Well, more than most of you. I know some of you guys are like crazy prayer warriors, right? But that is one of the things that's addressed in 1 Corinthians 14 and 12. But again, that's done in a private way, in a way that makes a difference as Fee indicated, in the individual lives of those who are wanting to live on mission for Christ. The second one that he says that we should really be looking for are the gifts that help everything, right? He says we should believe and we should contend and we should hope to be those that prophesy. Can I just tell you that I believe that as we preach the word of God, as we sing worship songs to the Lord in a public gathering, God is speaking to so many of us, all of us, right? Because his Spirit confirms with his word the things that he's doing in our lives. And for me, I've got to have a filter if I'm going to live in moderation, if I'm going to live in the middle, making room for everyone that's a part of us, that I've got to have a way of processing what it is that the Lord's saying to me. So, as I'm worshiping, as I'm praying, I hear the Holy Spirit speak and provoke my spirit. How many of you guys have that common experience? Yeah, that's, again, God's confirmation of him filling every Spirit-filled believer, right? And as I work through that, I've got to put it through the filter of what Paul just taught us in 1 Corinthians 12 and the correction he brings in 14. And for me, what's helpful is to ask myself kind of a series of questions. The first is, Lord, is this just for me or is this for somebody else? How many of you guys know that there's wisdom in making sure that something that God's saying to us isn't necessarily something he wants to broadcast to everybody all the time, right? That we've got to see, is it just for me? Or is this for a group of people? Is this for somebody in specific, Lord? Speak to me. Help me hear your voice. And as he confirms those things and as he gives direction for it, we find our next steps in how he wants to work in us, right? So again, we contend for that. We want to see the Holy Spirit's gifts expressed here at North Rock. But we want to do it in a way that 1 Corinthians 12 says is important, that it's done in order, that it's done in a way that people can understand, and it's done in a way that reinforces what the scriptures teach about these types of gifts. Amen? So for us, if you ever feel prompted that the Holy Spirit has something for beyond yourself as he's edifying and building us up, we would love to hear that from you. And the way that we do that here at North Rock is we ask you to bring forth that word to one of our pastors, one of the leaders, one of the elders in our church, and then we try to find the right space, the right place in order for us to convey whatever it is that the Lord is saying to the whole body. Does that make sense? Again, why? Because we want to be balanced. We want to be in order, and we want to be full of the Holy Spirit, active and engaged in people being filled with his Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? That's balance. That's what we're trying to do. And for me, this idea of being naturally supernatural, what it looks like to live out this balanced, healthy spirituality in a community of faith is what we mean when we say naturally supernatural. So we believe in moderation. We believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And we believe that in being in daily exercising the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, okay? That there's a means for the Spirit-filled life. That's what the Holy Spirit does in us and through us. That's part of the purpose of what he does. Again, going back to our four square doctrinal points, it says, we believe that born-again believers should be people who pray and who allow the Holy Spirit to shape their values and behaviors every day. Amen? Their lives should exemplify love and honesty and sincerity. Ephesians 4, 30 through 32, okay? So when we say we're a Pentecostal charismatic church, when we say we're a four square church, when we say at North Rock that we want to be naturally supernatural, that's what we mean by that. That's what I'm trying to get us to that place of exercising the spiritual gifts in a way that's done in order and in a way that brings life. That the power poured out is for the purpose of seeing people's lives change more and more and more and more. Does that make sense? Is that good this morning? Is that helpful? I hope so, because it's all I got this morning, okay? So real quickly, as the worship team comes up and we get ready to respond to the Holy Spirit and his word to us today, through 1 Corinthians 12 and 14, as we all kind of look into ourselves and say, okay, Lord, where am I on the spectrum today? Am I leaning more into my head? Am I leaning too far into experientialism? Or am I right where you're leading me? That's why we do this exercise at the end where we worship and we ask the Lord to speak to us because we believe he will. But to me, when I say we're going to live this way in an act of love, three things are important to me as the pastor of this church. The first is that we stay mutually submitted to the Holy Spirit and the desires and leading and direction that he gives us. Amen? Personal life and corporate life. That we're submitted to him, okay? The second thing that I think is important is that living in love is to take the Spirit's power and to lay down our lives in love. That we'd be submitted to living as a community of service to one another. Can I just tell you that most of the gifts of the Holy Spirit aren't going to be activated? We're not going to have time in these services for everybody to pop off like popcorn and use those gifts. But if we see the church the way that the New Testament designed the church to be, it's in those home groups. It's in those connect groups. It's in those opportunities for us to serve and love and speak life and prophesy and give words of knowledge that occurs day in and day out throughout our lives, right? How many of you guys know that the context of Paul's writing wasn't to a mega church? It wasn't to a group of even this size. It was probably these churches between 40 and 70 people. And there were people that weren't so event-centric or so event-driven that all they thought of when they thought of church was what we do here on Sundays. Can I just say, to be naturally supernatural is to think of church beyond Sunday mornings. That the only way we get that balance point right, the only way we exercise those gifts, the only way we mature in those gifts is if we're practicing on one another in a spirit of love. That we're submitted to the Spirit's leading, we're submitted to the Spirit's desire for service. And here's the final one. In order for us to really walk this out in a way that makes a difference, makes an impact in people's lives, we've got to be submitted mutually to one to another. In other words, in 1 Corinthians 12, we hear Paul saying, right, that I have appointed these people in this place. Can I just tell you today, that as the pastor of this church, I want us to live in mutual submission to one another. And I believe that if God has called you to this place, that he's equipped you for service, that he's filled you with his Holy Spirit, that we can do that in a way that impacts people's lives. Final point, simply this, going back to something that Fee states, this idea of living in spirit, in submission to the Spirit, structure and service. I think he really condenses some of what we've been talking about today about what that can look like in a community gathering. When he says this, he says that however much we may wish it otherwise, at conversion, divine perfection does not set in, but divine infection does. He says we have been invaded by the living God himself in the person of the Holy Spirit, whose goal is to infect us thoroughly with God's likeness. That's why we abide in the gifts and the fruit. He says the fruit and the gifts in concert with one another bring fullness of life to the believers, more so to the believing community where God intends these blessings to operate. He says God's vision for the church is not that those who are comfortable with one another may be one, but that those who are far be drawn near. That those who are enmity be made friends. That the ones who were not a people might become a people of God through the Spirit who makes them one. The only way we can do that, church, the only way that we can live in submission to the structure of being mutually submitted to each other, be in submission to the Holy Spirit's leading, be in submission of service, is to be full of the Holy Spirit. That it's Him leading us. That's the only way it gets done. That's the only way it happens. So would you, with me, lift your hearts, lift your hands, call out to the God who fills us with His Spirit, and do exactly what Ephesians 5 tells us to do. Be filled with His Spirit. How many of you guys get anxious when you're driving around in your vehicle and it gets to that red line? Gets to that eighth of a tank, gets to that 16th of a tank. God has not called us to operate with that much fullness of His Spirit, but rather full tanks. Amen? So let's raise our hands to Him. Let's ask Him to invade our lives once again. Father God, in Jesus' name, we thank You that You have more than enough kingdom resource to help us to live on mission for You. Father, help us to always show strength on behalf of those that are weak. Help us, Lord, to always use the spiritual strength and the passion and the joy that You give us to lead others into relationship with You, knowing that that's the purpose by which You have bought us by Your blood. Father, we pray in Jesus' name that we'd be filled and refilled and infilled by Your Holy Spirit today. Father, we thank You that as we bring You empty hearts, as we bring You hearts that maybe have poured out all the energy that we have, Lord, that You pour Your life right back into us in Jesus' name. Lord, we ask You to do that as we sing this song. Help us, Lord, to be full of Your Spirit so we'll be responsive and able to move at Your leading. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship. Father, we thank You for the fullness of the expression of Your Spirit in our lives. Lord, we thank You that we are truly Your expression of love to a world who desperately needs You. So, Lord, we pray that we would be people who live in power on witness every day of our lives. Lord, we pray that we'd be a people who are mutually submitted to one another in the Spirit and serving in Your loving gratitude in this world. Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor Chad, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to experience the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Can I just say, if that's you and you'd like to be prayed for today, we would love to take time to pray with you after the service. But maybe you're here today and you would just say, Pastor Chad, I don't know as I stand here today that I know the love of Jesus, who Jesus is and what He wants to do in my life. If that's you today, we're going to give you a chance to respond to that in the same way that we respond every week here at North Rock Church. And that's by professing our faith in the One who is love. Amen? Amen. So let's pray that prayer, and then I'm going to dismiss us, okay? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I invite You into my life. I believe that You died on the cross for my sin and rose from the grave 3 days later. Let me hear You. I receive forgiveness for every failure and sin in my life and give to You the right to direct my life from this day forward. I dedicate myself to learning the Scripture, living in fellowship with God's people, following You in water baptism. In Jesus' name, I pray and trust. Amen, 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 amen. Yeah, thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Hey, a couple of quick reminders, announcements, okay? First is, if you don't know what your spiritual gifts are, we've established that God has given you His Spirit, that you have spiritual gifts to contribute. You can go to northrockchurch.com. We've got a gift survey on there that you can take free of charge. It'll help you kind of understand how God's wired you, and we'd love for you to get on Unleashed and talk to us a little bit about what's going on with that. Second opportunity to learn more about the Holy Spirit is Pastor Tom has done an amazing job with our iConnect classes. He has a 5-lesson and a 10-lesson opportunity for us to grow in our understanding of what the Scriptures teach about this subject. Okay, and then finally, have a great week. Thanks for being here at North Rock. We love you guys. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to this North Rock resource. To find out more information about North Rock Church, check us out at www.northrockchurch.com.